Poor Moses. In the first reading today, Moses is really getting closer to the end of his life. This occurs long into the book of Deuteronomy. And he's really trying to help the people to realize how much it is that God loves them and how close God is to them. You can almost hear him pleading with the people in the words he says. If only you would heed the voice of the Lord. Now, when Moses is about to die, he gives kind of a farewell address. Not unusual as people begin to think about their life and their legacy. And Moses says to the people, here's the way that you have to live, but I know you're not going to do it. You're going to want to be just like everyone else. And the people that the Israelites will encounter as they enter the promised land are not very good people. They're doing all kinds of horrible things. Probably the most horrible was that they were sacrificing their own children to a god named Moloch. So, it's not a good thing that they want to fit in. It's not a good thing that they want to be like them because they're doing all kinds of horrible things. And yet, Moses has consistently shown the people God's works. Moses has been the vehicle that God has used to lead the people from slavery in Egypt to the promised land. But they're not going to do what Moses has shared with them from God. In fact, Joshua, the successor of Moses, he's also going to give kind of a farewell address. And he's going to say, well, here's what you should do, but I know you're not going to do it. You're going to want to be just like everyone else. That's a strong pull for each one of us. We want to fit in. We want to belong. And certainly, there's a very deep and human need to be part of a group. It's why, in fact, I think that we have families. It's why we choose to live in certain places. It's why the community in which we live is important to us. It is why the faith we profess is lived in community. And so fitting in is not a bad thing if it's for the right reasons. However, how easy is it to use even simple language where we don't think about following God, but we do think about fitting in? Take something simple. Moses tells the people that God is very close to them. Not far away, not across the ocean, not up on a mountaintop, not something that is going to require a lot of effort to discover what God wants to do for his people, because God is in our heart. But how easy is it not to cultivate this relationship with God in our heart? A simple thing. In what ways do we seek to strengthen our relationship with God in our lives? How easy is it to say, well, you know, I'm a little too busy? Or, well, you know, I would do that, but I'm just not a very good person when it comes to sitting still and listening to God. Or, my job is very important, and I have to really give time for my job to provide for my family. Whatever it is, we can put up excuses to keep from following God. The Israelites certainly did, because they complained about Moses. Now, in the interest of full disclosure, I have often thought that if I were an Israelite wandering in the desert, I would be at the head of the line of complainers. Because I wouldn't like any of this. I would not at all like the fact that we were first having to go through the desert, where it's hot and miserable, and then cold and miserable. I would be hungry, I would be thirsty, I would forget the good deeds that God has done. We know that that is true. The gospel gives us another way in which we can allow certain things to become too important or more important than what should be most important in the faith. So really, our entire life of faith can be summed up simply in two commandments. One, love God with every aspect of who you are and what you can do. And two, love your neighbor as yourself. Really, there isn't a law that doesn't tie in some way to one of those two. But what do we encounter in the gospel? We encounter a priest and a Levite, those who should have known the law very, very well, being more concerned with ritual purity than to helping this poor half-dead man get care and compassion. What they were doing was not unrelated to the law, because if they had come in contact with a foreigner and one who was bloody and so forth, they'd become ritually impure. So they crossed to the other side of the street to maintain the ritual purity that was necessary for them to worship. But they did so at the expense of this man who is suffering. And Jesus is making a very profound and powerful point. This notion of caring with compassion for people in need is critically important. It's connected to our love of God. We can't say we love God, says St. John, if we don't love our brother or sister. But how easy is it, just as we can make excuses for prayer, how easy is it for us to make excuses for not helping our neighbor? How easy is it not even to look in the eye someone who is homeless? How easy is it not to want to make a charitable contribution to somebody? We are an incredibly wealthy nation. How often is it, however, that we are able to hear, well, you know, we can't help everybody else because we got our own needs? Look at what we will face now that Roe v. Wade has been overturned. I say the work is just beginning, that this is not, in fact, the end of anything, but the beginning of an opportunity for us to convince, to persuade, to influence. But are we willing to do the hard work of providing our neighbor with what they need? Food, clothing, health care, shelter, opportunity. Are we willing to help our neighbor and to extend compassion to that? Or do we find some other often justified way to avoid doing so? Today, it is as if Moses is standing before you with the law, asking you to give your life to God by loving him and loving your neighbor. Ask God for the grace to do so.